Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU.
This week, music industry hits out at cuts to BBC introducing. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt. With me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
As ever, we are going to take a look back at some of the biggest and most interesting music industry news stories of the last week. A week when UK Collecting Society, PRS, reversed its decision to cut funding to the PRS Foundation, saying that recent interest rate increases and a new model for financially supporting the talent development charity will enable it to continue providing current levels of support or higher.
Yes, there's some good news last week. You may remember, you should remember, because we talked about it on Setlist, as well as reporting on it in the CMU Daily, so there's no excuses if you don't remember. But last year, at its AGM, PRS announced that it was going to have to cut the funding that it provides to the PRS Foundation, the charity it set up all the way back in the year 2000, moving forward from the current $2.5 million a year that the Society hands over to the Foundation to support so many great schemes that are benefiting sort of grassroots and newer and independent music talent. The cut would be from $2.5 million to $1 million. It said that that was because the Foundation had always been funded from a specific revenue stream that was basically the interest that PRS earned on investments that it had and sort of royalty money that was sitting in a bank account waiting to be distributed to its members. Interest rates have been flat for so long, they said. Obviously, as they said that, that was changing, but interest rates had been low and flat for quite some time. They also said that they pay royalties out faster now than they used to, which is a good thing. So therefore, interest payments were down, which meant that they couldn't continue to support the foundation at current levels, but massive backlash to that from across the music community, who said that the PRS Foundation is brilliant, the work it does is brilliant, the work it does is more important now than ever before, particularly as the artist community is still facing various challenges that are a hangover from the COVID pandemic. So there was a strong message from across the music community: hey PRS, find a way of sustaining that support at current level, and seemingly they have done, aided by the fact that interest rates have been going up more recently, but also apparently a new model which will not only mean that they can maintain current funding levels, there may even be some increases, and they hope that they can safeguard the future of the foundation. Don't know about the specifics and the details, but everybody seems to think it's good news, and who doesn't like good news? We love good news, even though I think 2 weeks ago on the podcast we said we prefer bad news. But no, good news is good.
Good news is good. And if you like good news, don't listen to the rest of this.
Yeah, because unfortunately, the good news is not what we're actually here to talk about this week.
No, I mean, there are parallels. So maybe another parallel in the future could be a happy ending. But there are definitely parallels to something that supports grassroots and emerging artists facing difficult times and cuts, and, well, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I'm rushing ahead a bit. What we're supposed to say is, that's not what we're here to talk about this week, and then I say, no, this week, blah, blah, blah. This week, we're just going to discuss one story, because there is a lot to say about it, so let's just get on with it, shall we?
Yeah, I wish you would.
All right, I will. The campaign against proposed cuts to BBC Music Introducing has gained momentum over the last week, with a plethora of music industry organisations publishing an open letter to the board of the BBC seeking reassurance that the service will not become an unintended victim of any changes being made to ensure the future stability and viability of the broadcaster. The letter is in response to cutbacks at the BBC's network of local radio stations, which are set to impact on the local BBC introducing programmes.
Yeah, so those cutbacks were actually announced last year, and like any cuts that are made to the BBC's output, they have proven to be controversial. So basically, this all stems from the fact that the BBC is planning to reduce the amount of local programming that is aired on its network of local radio stations that broadcast all over England. So with the plans that were announced last year, what is going to happen is that for big chunks of the day, rather than every local BBC radio radio station in each bit of England having its own programmes. They'll basically pool the stations into regional hubs, and for chunks of the day, they'll have regional programmes going out rather than local programmes. And actually, in the late night slot, they're going to have one programme for the entirety of the network. So, assuming those plans go ahead, what will happen is across that network of local stations, you will have fewer local programmes being made and therefore fewer presenters and fewer producers making those local programmes. Now, those changes are partly about saving money. The BBC is always desperately trying to save money. But of course, in the current moment, the reason why the BBC is having to save money is because the current UK government, well, actually, it's about 19 governments ago, isn't it? But it's the same party, the Conservative Party.
It was January last, it was a year ago that this happened. And so, yeah, we've been through a lot of iterations of MPs and prime ministers since then. But still, it still stands.
Yeah, the basic mood of the Conservative Party, certainly a year ago, and in many ways still, is that the BBC spends too much money, and obviously most of the BBC's money, not all of it, but a big chunk of the BBC's budget comes from the licence fee that every household in the UK is obliged to pay under law, and the government and parliament are in control of what the licence fee is. And so a year ago, the Conservative government, wanting the BBC to spend less money and therefore for licence fee payers to pay less money, basically froze the licence fee, which means, particularly with the way inflation is at the moment, in real terms, the BBC's core budget from the licence fee is going down as every year goes on. As a result, it needs to find a load of cost savings. And so these cutbacks to local radio output are in part about saving some money.
Yes. And so from a music perspective, this all led to concern about what those changes will mean for the BBC Music Introducing Initiative that has always been built upon the various local BBC introducing programmes, each of which is focused on supporting and championing new talent and the wider music community in its local area. But back in December, BBC execs defended the wider local radio cutbacks to MPs on the Digital Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee in the UK Parliament, which we seem to be talking about a lot on Setlist these days. Although those BBC execs did say at the time that some of the specifics of the changes may yet evolve based on feedback from staff and listeners. So speaking to the Select Committee, the BBC's Director of Nations, Rhodri Taflin-Davis, was keen to stress that while this is partly about saving money, it's also about shifting focus, with budget being moved from live and local radio programmes to local online news. He told MPs, "We are keeping 39 local stations across England. We are keeping local bases of at least 25 staff in each of our local bases and strengthening the size of our local news teams. This is fundamentally not about a reduction in services. It's about making sure our portfolio of local services that we deliver across radio, television and online keep pace with the way audiences are changing." He also indicated that any alterations to the changes already announced wouldn't be particularly major, saying, "We are looking at some aspects of the programme shares at the moment, but I don't think there will be significant changes."
Now, with all that in mind, our reading of what has been proposed, and certainly what we're hearing from behind the scenes, what this is going to mean, if we bring this back to BBC Introducing, is that there will be fewer of these local shows that have traditionally been the hub of the entire scheme. So if the evening output on local radio stations is no longer local programmes, it's now regional programmes, one would hope that BBC Introducing would still be part of that, but it would mean that rather than having all of these local BBC Introducing shows, we would have a smaller number, possibly a significantly smaller number, of regional shows. And the reason why people are concerned about that is the local shows that go out currently on all the local radio stations under the BBC Introducing banner in some ways are more important than just the actual programme that goes out on air. And the fact that BBC Introducing as a wider scheme has a people and a presence at a real local level is arguably what has made the BBC Introducing initiative, ever since the BBC launched it back in the day, such a success story. So while there may well still be Beavis producing shows going out on the local radio stations, if they become regional shows rather than local shows, the entire scheme is going to be hindered, some would argue, in quite a significant way.
Yes, Tom Robinson, who I guess is the figurehead of BBC Introducing, can we call him that? He presents one of the national BBC Introducing shows, the Introducing Mixtape on Six Music. He earlier this month explained in more detail the significance and importance of the local shows in the scheme as it stands. So he put up a form on his website calling for artists and listeners to submit their stories of why, you know, they love BBC Introducing. And above that, he put this explanation saying, BBC Music Introducing is a network of radio shows across the UK supporting new and interesting music at grassroots level. The backbone of that network consists of 32 local shows on stations across England and the Channel Islands. They're supplemented by flagship programmes in Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland, and on the BBC's national networks such as Radio 1, Six Music, One Extra and Asian Network. Those 32 backbone shows air every Saturday night, supporting local artists with local airplay, interviews and sessions, often on shoestring budgets. Their dedicated teams of enthusiasts try to provide local gigs, festival stages and outside broadcasts wherever possible, and to forward their discoveries to sister shows on local and national BBC stations for further airplay. And not only that, he went on, but these teams listened to an average of 4,000 tracks a week last year, all of which were uploaded by the artists direct to their local show free of charge, with no need to pay a radio plugger.
Yeah, and that's a particularly important point, isn't it, about the role of the local shows, because a key part of BBC Introducing always has been that any artist can upload tracks through the BBC website into the BBC Introducing system, the idea being that DIY artists, grassroots artists, independent artists who can't afford to hire somebody to do radio plugging for them can still get their music into the system, and then you have this network of people out there in the local areas who are listening to that music, but who are also informed about the local scene, so probably are already aware of many of the artists who are uploading music. So that whole uploader part of BBC Introducing is really relying on this network of local presenters and producers who are making the local shows in order for that whole element of BBC Introducing to work and have an impact.
Yeah, and as Tom Robinson said on his website, many of today's hotly tipped names got their first airplay through BBC Introducing. Though our job isn't just to act as scouts for the UK record industry, Introducing's crowning achievement since 2007 has been helping listeners find interesting new music and help interesting musicians find new listeners year in, year out, whether or not that music was destined for the top 75.
So in that post on his website, I think Tom Robinson did a good job of explaining how BBC Introducing works and why the local shows are important in their own right, but crucially, the teams behind those shows play an even bigger role in making sure that the wider BBC Introducing scheme is a success. Now, once the plans about local radio were revealed last year, people started to get a little bit concerned about what this might mean for BBC Introducing, people in the music industry, I guess I really mean. Some of the presenters of those local shows started to speak out on their social media, explaining that basically everyone has been put on redundancy notice and now everyone's sort of, in essence, being interviewed to work out how many shows they're going to do under the new scheme and who's going to lead on those shows. So a lot of sort of insecurity within the network of presenters who are at the same time having to continue doing their local shows and looking for all that music. So this has been rumbling for a couple of months now, really. But as we said at the start, in the last week, it's really started to gain momentum, partly with Tom Robinson putting this page on his own website, encouraging listeners and artists, as you say, to speak out in support of BBC Introducing, and in particular, the role of the local shows in the wider scheme. Plus, a whole host of music industry organisations put their signature to a letter that was organised by the Music Venue Trust last week, addressed to the BBC board, basically confirming that the music industry, and especially the venues and the labels and the managers and the agents and all of the artists who are working sort of at the grassroots, independent, more local side of the music industry, are really concerned about what they're hearing and the impact it could have on the wider BBC Introducing initiative.
Yeah, so this letter says, BBC Music Introducing is a fundamental cog in the machine of the grassroots sector. These 32 local shows support local artists with local airplay, interviews and sessions, and are deeply engaged with local grassroots music venues. They are presented and produced by people with a deep knowledge of local and regional music. They provide local gigs, festival stages and outside broadcasts alongside promotion and awareness raising. This work is not done by any other broadcaster. It is unique. Its reach extends to every corner of the country, and it is especially important in left-behind communities where access to music and music opportunities is already incredibly challenging. BBC Introducing, it goes on, is a prime example of what the BBC does best that no other broadcaster can do. BBC Introducing programming directly addresses the core aims of the BBC, acting in the public interest, serving all audiences, and delivering impartial, high-quality and distinctive output and services which inform, educate and entertain.
The letter then honed in on the incoming changes to BBC Local Radio and BBC Introducing, and it said, despite all of this, all the good stuff it's just gone through, we understand that the entire network of presenters and producers of those local shows have been placed on notice of potential redundancies, and that the programmes they create may be under threat as a result of wider cuts to the BBC's network of local radio stations. We want to impress on you very strongly, the you there, of course, being the BBC board, that that move, those changes, those cutbacks would be a fundamental blow to the health of the entire grassroots music sector here in the UK. New and emerging artists already face significant obstacles to breaking into the music industry, challenges that are amplified for those artists and musicians living outside of the major cities. BBC Introducing has been essential in providing access routes into the industry with local and regional opportunities available right across the country. Whatever reorganisation might be required to meet the demands of the future stability and viability of the BBC, it should not be the case that BBC Introducing is the unintended victim of those changes.
The letter then concludes, please can we have your urgent assurance that you and the BBC board understand the vital role of BBC Introducing. We would like to hear how you plan to protect it for the future and would welcome the opportunity to discuss with you how it can be developed, enhanced and improved to achieve even more for the communities it serves. And as we say, this was organised by the Music Venue Trust, but it was also signed by the Production Services Association, the Association of Independent Promoters, the Association of Independent Music, the Featured Artist Coalition, Live Music Managers Forum, the British Association of Concert Halls, the Entertainment Agents Association, the Association of Independent Festivals, the Concert Promoters Association, the Society of Ticket Agents and Retailers, and the National Arenas Association. So, strong feeling across the industry there. And there was a separate statement that came from the CEO of music education charity Youth Music, Matt Griffiths, who said, it's incredibly disheartening to hear about significant proposed changes to the BBC Introducing programming across local radio stations. Like Youth Music, BBC Introducing helps equalise access to the music industries across the UK. It's a crucial part of the British grassroots music infrastructure. By removing this vital platform, they are removing the opportunity for diverse young voices to be heard, many of whom develop their talent further by applying for the Youth Music Next Gen Fund. To lose this at such scale would set the industry back a long way.
So, I think it's fair to say, we have demonstrated there is clearly strong opposition to the loss of any of the local BBC Music Introducing programmes from the music industry, from artists, and we should add from listeners as well. And understandably so. I think all of the issues that have been raised are entirely legitimate issues. The local shows and that network of local presenters is what makes BBC Introducing brilliant. And we should stress, particularly for people listening outside the UK, BBC Introducing really is good as a scheme, as a programme.
Yeah.
What it has achieved is a really good thing. And I think all of these people are right. That local network of shows and the people behind those shows have been absolutely key to its success. And so we desperately don't want to see all of that fall apart because of these cuts to local radio.
Now, just before we started recording this episode, the BBC actually published an update on the wider cutbacks to local radio, making some tweaks to the planned downsizing. As we mentioned, BBC execs did tell MPs last year that their plans would likely be changed based on feedback from audience and staff, but those changes to the changes were unlikely to be radical. And they were right. In the update from the BBC, the main change is that when local stations in one region start to share programmes, there will be a slightly higher number of regions and therefore a slightly higher number of regional shows overall. And the BBC has also made a number of commitments around shows aimed at Black and Asian communities around the UK. However, the update doesn't really tell us much about what will happen to the BBC introducing shows, except that there will still be some, and also that new music talent will also be championed elsewhere on BBC local radio, which does arguably confirm that bosses at the broadcaster know a cutback to BBC introducing won't be able to do as much championing as in the past or currently. So although there are some concessions on the cutbacks plan at large, there is still going to be plenty of cutting back, and pretty much all the concerns raised in the music community about the future of BBC introducing seem to still stand. So we'll see if any campaigning in that community can get some extra concessions from BBC bosses, specifically in relation to the local introducing shows. I mean, fingers crossed it can.
All of that said, let's play devil's advocate just for a moment, because in a way we've been here before when other key music services at the BBC have been up for being cut back or cut entirely, usually as a result of the broadcaster having to save money, but also sometimes because the BBC simply needs to change and adapt because the world in which it operates is changing and adapting. So I think it's worth looking at the challenge the BBC faces and what is happening on the other side to see if that can inform what we think should happen. So we keep the good stuff about BBC introducing, we keep that local network, even if we have to accept that quite how it works at the moment is going to change. Obviously, the Music Venue Trust and all those other organisations in their letter did acknowledge that the BBC is going to have to change quite significantly in the next decade. What they're saying is, do not allow BBC introducing to be a victim of those changes. But as the BBC said to the MPs when questioned about these changes to local radio last year, yes, this is partly about saving money, but also it's about recognising that the numbers of people tuning in to a local BBC radio station on their radio every day or even a couple of times a week is in decline, because there are many other ways today of accessing programmes and music and content. Much more is happening online, much more is happening through apps and websites, and the BBC has to adapt to that, and the BBC has always been adapting to that ever since digital first emerged, what, in the mid-1990s, I guess. So it is a legitimate challenge, and I think in the next 10 years we are going to see radical changes at the BBC as we move into the next phase of digital media and digital entertainment. So in a way, I think we will look back at what's happened over the last, you know, 25, 30 years as almost an evolution compared to the revolution that is ahead. And actually, the boss of BBC, the overall Director General, Tim Davey, talked about this in a really interesting speech that he gave right at the end of last year, last month, to the Royal Television Society. And I think he said some really interesting and actually quite sensible stuff in that speech. And so given that we are talking about the BBC having to evolve to save money, but also to meet the challenges of the modern world, I thought, even though this speech was last month, maybe it would be worth looking at some of the things he said on this edition of Setlist.
Yeah, so in that speech, he ran through some of the BBC's key achievements over the last 100 years, including its current successes in terms of reach, influence and output. However, he explained, the media sector is changing rapidly and the BBC needs to move fast in order to keep up. So he said, industry analysts predict that we have probably seen the last year in the UK when broadcasters make up the majority of video viewing. 5 years ago, broadcast TV reached nearly 80% of young adults a week. Today, it's around 50%, and radical changes are happening across all ages. TikTok is now bigger than the BBC in video for 16 to 24s in the UK. Imagine a world that is internet only, he went on, where broadcast TV and radio are being switched off and choice is infinite. There's still a lot of live linear viewing, but it is all being delivered online. Could we harness the possibilities of this interactive digital landscape to increase public value and stimulate the UK media market? What would it actually take to deliver that? And then adding to that question, he posed four more. So should we, as the UK, own a move to an internet future with greater urgency? Should we transform the BBC faster to have a clear market-leading role in the digital age? Should we proactively invest in the BBC brand as a global leader? And should we move faster in regulating for future success? And if you're wondering, his answer to all of those questions was yes.
It certainly was. He went on, a switch off of broadcast will and should happen over time, and we should be active in planning for it. Though for the BBC to embrace a shift to becoming an internet-only service, he did then say, we must work together to ensure that everyone is connected and can get their TV and radio via the internet. This isn't something to resist. A fully connected UK has very significant benefits for society and our economy. It would unleash huge opportunities for innovation. As that happens, and as the BBC services increasingly become only available and therefore accessed online, whether that's through smart TVs or apps or websites or whatever it is, Davey then said, when that is happening, it is inevitable that, and I quote, we will have fewer brands overall and consolidate more activity behind a simple single brand in the UK, the BBC. So what he's basically saying is BBC One, Two, Three, Four, Radio One, One Extra, Six Music, Radio Four, all of those things, the local brands, BBC Radio Scotland, all of that becomes less sensible in an era where everybody is interacting with the BBC and accessing content either through the BBC's own digital channels or actually through other digital channels, through YouTube, through TikTok, etc. And then he talked about how, and this is another change which has proven controversial in some quarters, already the BBC is merging its two news channels. So the BBC has until now had one news channel that operates in the UK and then another news channel which operates outside the UK. So you sort of have BBC News for its UK audience and the license fee payers, and then BBC World News, which it is then pushing out around the world, and that's actually a commercial advertising funded service. But they're bringing the two together so that the operations, the staff, the people, the journalists will all be part of one unit called BBC News. And he was basically predicting that ultimately that is what's going to happen down the line. So the BBC Music brand, which they've pushed and then not pushed over the years. So sometimes they do talk about BBC Music as being its own thing and, you know, Glastonbury coverage across BBC Music. But then other times they sort of pulled back from that and they do talk more about Radio 1 and 1 Extra and 6 Music and all of the different things. But yeah, I think the future is BBC Music is its own thing, possibly structured more around genre than the sort of the traditional brands and the traditional stations. That is clearly the future that Tim Davey is looking at. And personally, I think, although there'll be lots of Six Music fans and there'll be lots of One Extra fans who really don't like the idea, I think that is inevitably where we're heading. But I guess the challenge for the BBC is how do they make that happen, keep everybody engaged and ensure that they don't lose some really important services and fail to meet some of the important roles they currently meet as a result of all of those changes.
Whatever happens, there are clearly going to be big changes behind the scenes. And in his speech, Davey went on, digital offers a huge opportunity to unlock more audience value, but it requires big organisational change, a radical overhaul of how we use data, a heavyweight world-class tech team, new operating models, new creative solutions and ideas. Imagine news reimagined for the iPlayer or increased functionality when watching sport online. We will be world-leading pioneers in this. No one in the world has created a digitally-led public service media company of scale, and the global opportunity for us is there for the taking.
So some quite bold, maybe even go as far as saying bombastic, can I say that word?
I think, yeah.
Statements and ambitions there in that speech. As I say, this speech was last year. We will link to a transcript of the speech that you can go and read from the podcast notes. interesting, I thought, and as I say, quite a lot in there which I sort of agree with, while also recognising that there will be quite a lot of backlash and legitimate concern when reorganisation begins and certain brands start to disappear, which means some interesting times ahead. Meanwhile, in the context of BBC Music introducing, the interesting question is, okay, maybe the wider changes happening at local radio, although it means we're going to lose some great programmes, it means that the BBC is going to lose some really good presenters, and all of that is understandably creating concern. In terms of BBC Music introducing, maybe it is unfortunately inevitable that there are going to be fewer shows across the country. There'll be regional shows rather than local shows, and maybe that's just an inevitable, unfortunate consequence of the BBC adapting to the realities of the way people are now consuming content. But I would definitely echo what all those organisations and the Music Venue Trust, etc., were saying, which is the BBC definitely needs to recognise, the BBC board needs to recognise, that it is that local network of people on the ground in each part of the country that has made BBC introducing so important. And it isn't just spotting artists from Manchester and Glasgow and London. It is truly reaching out across the country. That is what makes BBC introducing across the board so special. So even if we are looking at fewer BBC introducing shows because of the changes in local radio, what can they do behind the scenes at that local level, not just in London or Manchester, to ensure that as a wider scheme, BBC Introducing still has the outreach that has made it so special. So maybe, in a way, a bit of a test for Mr. Bold, bombastic Tim Davey. Can you adapt in a way that saves a little bit of money because you need to, which adapts things for the age we're now living in, but you still keep what makes the BBC at large and specific BBC things like BBC Music Introducing so special? We shall see.
Yes, but that is all we've got time for on this edition of Setlist. If you want to read more about anything we've discussed this week, you can find links in the show notes, which are in your podcast player now or at setlistpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to receive new episodes automatically every single week. Rate and review the show if you've never done that, or even if you have done it before, you can do it again. I don't think there's a limit on that. And if you want to say anything directly to us, you can email us setlist@unlimitedmedia.co.uk. Setlist is the music business podcast from CMU. It's presented by Andy Malt and Chris Cook. And for more on CMU, go to completemusicupdate.com.